Well, let's begin. Let's open to Luke, to the book of Luke, chapter 3, and this morning I want to talk about a relationship with God. Yeah, kind of get to the root of everything we share. It always comes back to that, relating to the Lord. But you know, I've seen the message of Christ and of the cross received in different ways. You know, seen the correct doctrine, the sound teaching of Christ, of the cross, of taking up your cross and following Jesus, of being crucified with Christ, taken and received and carried, if you will, many different ways. You know, you could say the right way and the wrong way or whatever, but you know, after having observed it for some time, to take it the wrong way, it can kind of become not a thing of abuse as someone abusing you, but feeling like no joy to it, certainly no real victory in it, you know, just the kind of trudging on. You know, just the trudging on for the Lord, just the burden, heavy, just load, heavy cross that we're just carrying, and it can, you know, you've heard of the martyr spirit and that kind of thing, and just all this, and, you know, just in considering that, and just, and in recent sharings and stuff, and just, well, what is the Lord's heart behind it? You know, what spirit does He give it to us in? And so we'll start in Luke 3:21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." And so, you know, we know the story, we're familiar with it. Jesus steps into the water, John baptizes him, and God speaks, and He speaks openly and in public, you know, and the Holy Spirit comes down and lights upon Jesus. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, Jesus has spoken in, or God, I'm sorry, God has spoken in public before in Israel's past, in their history. He spoke at Mount Sinai, you know. That was a little bit different of a scenario, a little bit different of an atmosphere. There was lightnings, there was thunderings, the ground shook. I think He told Moses, you know, if anyone breaks the lines, you know, and tries to get up to me, they're to be thrust through with a spear. Pretty heavy. This is the same guy here. Same God. I mean, this is when he came down, when He descended on Mount Sinai, the spirit of it was very, oh my gosh, you know, very serious, very heavy. Here He shows up and declares His Son, and the Spirit comes out down and alights on Jesus. Says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Right? Now, Jesus, He's bringing in a new and living way. Mount Sinai and God coming down, that represented an old way, an old covenant. And when you come to covenants and ways, I mean relationship. Relationship between God and man. Relationship between God and us. How He relates to us, you know. Doctrines, no matter how correct they are or whatever, if they don't come into relationship they're really lifeless. I mean, if it's not in Christ, okay, it you can know and believe that I am in Christ. It's a done deal. God, through Christ, has placed me in Jesus, and I'm in there. But if there's no relationship there, if there's no walking in a relationship of being in Christ, then there's really no savor to it, you know. There's really no life behind it if there's not a real relating on those levels. Same with the cross. What is it? What is it really? What's the essence of the relationship supposed to be behind it? I mean, how did Jesus carry himself as he carried his cross, if you will, through life? What was the relationship that he had that was behind the whole thing, motivating the whole thing, strengthening him through the whole thing? What did he draw from? What was the specific relationship to God that he had, that he, you know, was able to go on in? Was it Jesus and the God of Mount Sinai? You know? No, it was God coming saying, "This is my son." Jesus saying, "Father, Father, Father." And the Spirit comes out. Where does he come out from? Does he come out from God Almighty? You know, Almighty, Omnipotent, and the Father is God Almighty, or Almighty God, or whatever. I mean, he is all those things, but he presents himself in a certain way, and it's important, and it's crucial, because it is the Spirit and the relationship behind what God has brought in, what Jesus has brought us into, in the new covenant, in the new relationship, in the new union that we have. You know, the heartbeat of the whole thing. And the Holy Spirit comes from the Father. He comes down from a Father. You know? He's not coming to chisel out commandments on stone. He's not coming to lay heavy things. He's coming on the Son. You know? And he's coming on Jesus, but he's coming out from a Father. Right? So let's look at John 15:26. John 15, verse 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And here we have Jesus talking about sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. What's his origin? Where does he originate from? Where does he come out from? He comes out from the Father. He comes out from the head of the family, right? Now, if he came out from the Almighty God of Mount Sinai, what kind of comfort would that be? There would be no comfort at all. You wouldn't be able to call him the Comforter. If he just came and said, you know, if you break this, you're guilty, and you better hightail it to a city of refuge because you'll be stoned, and there's all these rigid things, you know. And I know the law isn't something, you know, that we necessarily have a problem with, but I know that the doctrine, whatever, it can be received in a way where it's like, I got to toe the line here, you know. Things are hard, and I just have to bear it up because this is the cross, and this is what I'm doing and everything, and there's no real family spirit about it. There's no real family spirit about it. We're going to keep looking at this, but this Comforter, he's coming from the Father. Which means what? That his comfort is going to come from a certain angle. You know, it's going to come from a certain, he's going to sound a certain way. You know, there's radio waves everywhere in the air right now. Yeah, a whole lot, everything's going on in the air. You know, we could bring your radio in here and tune to a certain thing, and it's going to pick up something. Well, I found, you know, that's whatever we can do on this earth is a picture of a spiritual truth, right? You know, there's a way to tune into the Lord, to tune into the Holy Spirit. That's the real spirit of this thing. That's the real essence of what He's about. You know, that's the real angle that He has on it, you know, if you will. But the Comforter, who proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. You know, and how's he gonna testify of Jesus, you know, to us? Well, He might have the view of a father. It might be in a fathering way. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. This is chapter 4, and verse 4. It says, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So now, what are these verses saying? In these few verses here, he's describing the core spirit of the new covenant, the New Testament, the new way that Jesus brought in. He said first, and is referring to the old covenant way. The old covenant way that God related to His people, right? When the fullness of the time was come, what did that mean? When the end of the old way of relating was come, what did God send forth? A new prophet, a new Elijah risen from the dead to come and give new teachings, new scrolls, new prophecies, new testament. No, not that way. He sent His Son. He sent someone from His family, you know. He sent His Son to redeem them that we were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He's saying, in this new way, God is your Father. Right? I know this is nothing new here, but this is just huge. I know we've been talking a lot about the Father lately, but I mean, this was revolutionary to them. You know, back then, even if it's not hitting us in a revolutionary way, it was to them. You know, it was. I mean, this was God our Father. I am a son, a son. Their whole system was so used to being servants. And they understood the servant-son relationship. You know, in those days, your son came into the family business. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. Why? Because Joseph was a carpenter. You know, whatever you did, that's what your son did, you know. And this father-son relationship was huge to them. I mean, you follow in their foot. There's favor there. There's an inheritance there. You know that everything that the Father has is yours. Everything that you get in life, all your skills. You know, there's an old Jewish saying that is, if you don't teach your son a skill, you teach him how to steal. You know, the Father took it. It was their responsibility. It is, if I don't pour into my son, if I don't teach him my way, if I don't teach him the way of the family, I teach him to steal. You know, you know how that goes. So they took it very seriously. All that I amass in my life, I'm providing for him. You know, you see the heart behind the Father. Everything that I do, everything that I get is going to go to make his life better. All the skills that I pour into him is going to be for him and for his good. You see the heart behind it. See, a servant is, you do good, you perform, you do your chores, and you get favor based on how well or not well you perform, based on your performance. You know, and it's amazing how we can take the cross in that light, right? We can take it in that light of, man, I'm just not doing good, or I am doing good, and we can just take things and doctrines and stuff and turn it back into a performance thing, just eyes on self performance thing instead of, Father, I'm of your family. I want to bear your name. I want to be of your house. I want to represent this family. I'm of this family. All the inheritance is mine. You're pouring into me, you know. There's this whole different relationship. A whole different relationship, a whole different view. He sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. And that's just it right there, man. That I love that verse. I love that verse. I was they got on T. Austin Sparks website. They just put up a new deal in the last couple weeks or something. It's called like Open Window Messages or something, where every day they post and you can subscribe to get emailed to you just a little like excerpt from one of his sharings, just a couple. It's really just a couple paragraphs, you know, each time. And, man, I was blessed to find this morning it had this verse. The Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we take up our cross and follow Jesus, do our hearts cry, Abba, Father? I mean, how do you know you're really going in the Lord? Is it crying, Abba, Father? You know, when you go forward in your day, you know, and there's just life, and you want to take things on in the Lord, is it, I'm supposed to take up my cross and follow Jesus, I'm supposed to be dead, this is just, you know, this is just God crucifying my flesh, and you know, I just need to stay under this, because He's just working on me, and you know, I hate this, but, you know, being conformed to the image of Christ, so I'm just going to go forward, or is it, Father, this is You, Father, you know, and I know with words, I can't really clearly make the difference, because it's such a heart thing. But there's a huge difference that makes all the difference in the world, from what I found personally. When Jesus took the cross on His shoulder, He wasn't doing it out of duty. You know what I'm saying? We take junk that comes at us in the name of the cross because we feel like it's duty, because we know a doctrine. Can't we do that? Jesus said, I don't want to do this. You know, He was real with His feelings and emotions. I don't want it, but Abba, Father, there's something greater in me than what I want and what I don't want, and it's called a relationship with You. It's a heart relationship with You that says, Abba, Father, yes, I will go forward. And really, to really go forward in the Spirit of the cross and to bear our cross, when we're in that Gethsemane, God forbid we go forward if it's not Father. If it's not in the Spirit of Father. If we don't take it on in the Spirit of Father. For You, Father. For Your will. Why? Love. Father, I love You. There's something in me towards You, and it's of Your Spirit, and it's from Your Spirit, but it cries, Abba, Father. I don't like this. It's not more than I want to be changed, more than I want all this stuff. Father, for You. I recognize You. Something in me burns for You, Father. That's Christ. Bearing things by Christ. Going forward in the Son. Let's look at Luke chapter 3. Back to chapter 3. All right, we just read the verses prior to this about Jesus getting baptized. The Spirit descends on Him like a dove. And then I always thought it odd here that immediately after He's baptized in the Spirit, or baptized in Jordan, Spirit descends on Him, the Father said, this is My Son. Right before He goes into the wilderness, you have the genealogy of Jesus. I always thought, why would you put that there? I mean, why? Does that not strike anyone else as, like, out of place? Weird? No? You have the whole genealogy of Jesus. Shouldn't you put it at his birth? Other Gospels do. You have the genealogy of Christ. Well, let's just begin to read it. I'll try to do this Alexander Scorby style. No, I won't. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli, who was the son of Mathat, who was the son of Levi, who was the son of Melchi, who was the son of Jana, who was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Matthias, who was the son of Amos, who was the son of Nahum, who was the son of Elsli, who was the son of Nagai, who was the son of David, who was the son of Jesse, who was the son of, on and on, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was the son of Noah, who was the son of all the way back to Adam. Sons. Begotten by fathers. The entire history of the Bible and of man. From Jesus all the way back. You know, in his lineage, there's some big names who take up large portions of the Bible. Was the son of. Their whole lives and the whole life experiences gathered up into they were sons begotten by fathers. You take all their life experience. You take David in the wilderness running for his life, being fathered, a son being begotten by a father. You take Abraham, Isaac messed up, whatever, his mistakes, God coming to him, declaring, you know, the seed, the one, being fathered, you know. Jacob and his life, being fathered, a son being fathered. You have all these sons. The Holy Spirit just came. He just came from the Father, and he alights on Jesus, and you have this genealogy of sons, you know. It's the Word in a whole different light there. Just sons begotten by the Father, this son and that son and that son. And there you have the whole relationship, what God was getting at all along. And those are individual men's lives, but when you look at when it moved from God dealing with individuals to more of a national level, many verses in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, he refers to himself as their father, the father of that nation, the Babylonian captivity, God fathering. The fathering spirit is behind everything he did. Behind everything. Now, absolutely everything. Had nothing to do with performance, nothing to do with just getting us to go on, but this thing is going to be by the Father through sons. You know. And those who walk in it in that spirit are going to find the true strength. You know. The true drive of the Son in them, who is crying out, Abba, Father, who always does those things which please the Father. You know? Everything your hand finds to do, do heartily as unto the Lord. How are you going to do that? Only by the Son in you who cries, Abba, Father. Every day, because to him, it's not about the thing. We make it so much about the thing. I know this. I know this personally, how easy it is to make it so heavily about whatever thing in the earth it is. But Jesus, man, his view really is different. And the beautiful thing is that view can be ours because we're sons now, and that's part of our inheritance, you know, that his spirit has come and lived in us. And the things that we just feel like, I can't accept this. I can't go. I can't do this heartily as unto the Lord. It's not in me to do it well. No, it's not. You see, and that's where the cross comes. It's not in me. It's not, but Jesus, you're in me. You are the Son, and God is fathering me in this. You know, you begin to get in line with the spirit of the family. Not lining up with doctrines, but in the spirit of the family. You know, you find strength. You find life. You find a whole different view. You find the way the family looks at things. You know, in Revelation, there's a verse that talks about his name shall be in their foreheads. You know, one of the first things that happens when a baby's born is he gets a name. It says, you are of this family, you know. And of this family, they're raised a certain way. You know, you've heard of when a kid messes up or something, you know, the father says, it ain't the way I raised you, boy. I didn't raise you to be like this, right? Well, that comes from a father who did specific things in that child's life to make them a certain way, to make them a way of that family, you know. His name shall be in their foreheads. They bear the name of that family, you know. And so you got this genealogy, all these sons, you know, and I got to think that the Holy Spirit that came, and I'd like to think he just filled Jesus with this reality. Sons. Sons. You are in a line of sons, and you are the son that they all point to. Everything from Adam up until the fullness of times with you coming forth with sons being begotten by fathers, and now you are the one son to carry it out. In the true spirit of the son. By the spirit came from the father. You know, everything before you now. Now this is the beginning of his ministry, right? He's about to go, he's 30 years old, began his ministry in about three and a half years, he's going to die. And he's going forth, I am about my father's business. This isn't me and my ministry, this isn't me doing my thing, this isn't me, this is, I'm a vessel of my father, I'm going for my father, my father's with me, my father's begetting me, but first, he has to go through the wilderness. The wilderness. Now, right there, you know, whenever we talk about wilderness, we think, we're not supposed to be in the wilderness. We're supposed to be dwelling in the promised land. But here, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? So maybe the wilderness isn't bad. Maybe it's appointed of God. Maybe it's a place where we're fathered, you know? And if we could get a hold of that, we're just being fathered. You know, I think we got a view of the wilderness as, well, I'm in the wilderness in this area because I'm a screw-up because I haven't gotten it yet. You know? I mean, does anyone here ever felt like that when we talk about the wilderness? I have. Well, what if you're just being fathered? See, that's a whole different, that's a whole different light. Well, you're not a screw-up. You're not a failure, you know. You're not of the generation whose carcasses are going to die in the wilderness. No, you're a son. You're a son. Take your place as a son of the Father. All the whole inheritance is yours. The promised land is given to you. You're not a rejected son. You're a son by Christ. This isn't based on, see, that generation, they weren't under this covenant. So they could be left in the wilderness to die. You cannot, because you're one with Christ. So you're in. It's secured. Your father, to reject you, would have to reject the son, because you're son of God by Christ. You're secure and settled. If you're in the wilderness, you're being fathered. I don't care how many laps you've made, because you can't get it. You're still being fathered. He's not going to stop. See, the spirit of the thing is totally different. It removes condemnation. It removes this whole thing of, I'm not getting it, but I got to keep going. I got to keep jumping. I'm being fathered. Hallelujah. My father can do this. My father can handle me. Man, he knows me. You know? Man, he loves me. This whole thing, it changes it from you either getting it or not getting it to someone who loves you taking care of you. Someone who loves you looking out for your interests. Someone who loves you looking out for his interest in you, which is what your heart wants. And so Jesus goes into the wilderness, and we know, well, Jesus, you know, only lasted 40 days, but them daggum Israelites are 40 years because they couldn't get it, you know, because they're stupid. Are you going to be stupid, or are you going to get it like Jesus? You know, I mean, have you ever read that and thought and, like, felt bad? Oh, man, I wish I could have got it in 40 days. You know, it's been, you know, 8 years, and I'm still, you know, blah, blah, blah. Again, you know, I started out by saying, you know, a way we interpret the scriptures and carry the cross, because I think maybe we, some of us have a problem with it, you know? Or maybe it's just me. But that's not it at all. That's not it at all. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of what? Being full of the Spirit who came from the Father, being full of the understanding that all things were from his father. That he was being fathered. It didn't matter if wilderness or promised land. It didn't matter if exciting times of healing and feeding people or dying on a cross. Fathered. I'm being fathered, and I'm going to express the Father, right? And that's it, and that's how he took it all. Food or no food, whatever comes, I'm a son. I'm a son, and I'm being fathered. And that's the issue here, right? Full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tested by the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone, that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, I've always thought of this verse of, well, you know, he went out there with the purpose of fasting. And so he just had it in his mind. He's not going to eat. You know, he's just going to be with the Lord. He's going to pray, and the devil comes and, you know, hey, make it into bread because I'm evil, because I want to get you to do something that you don't want to do. You know, like, no, I'm going to live by every word. Well, he's out there in the desert. He's in a desert place, and there's hard things out there, things that hurt the feet. And make our feet sore in our walk, you know, that we can, you know, grind our legs against and hurt us, that when we fall against them, they hurt. They're hard. A hard place, a hard situation. The devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son, he doesn't say, if you're the incarnate messenger from above, from heaven, if you're the Son, if you have a relationship, because the Son represents relationship. If you have a relationship with the Father, get him to turn this into bread. Have that relationship with him. Don't be fathered by him. Make your relationship with God change this, Father. I'm walking through this, and this is hard. Change it. Make it soft. Bread softer. Even if you weren't going to eat it, I'd rather walk across with loaves of bread than rocks, you know. Make it softer. Make it something that can feed me. Make it something that can satisfy me. Jesus says, no, I'm out here being fathered. If there's a rock here, it's because my Father wants it to be a rock. He wants it to be hard, and I want to get what he has for me out of it. Because I trust my Father. Because I'm with my Father. And not because I'm just some martyr carrying my cross for the Lord. Right, not because I'm just crucified with Christ and I believe that. No, my Father put this rock here. I'm a son. I'm in relationship with him, and I receive it as from him. I'm not going to change my relationship from being Father because he knows what's best to me thinking I know what's best and say, Father, this needs to be bread. Trust. It's a trust issue. Father, you put this stone here. I don't like it. It hurts. It's hot. It's a desert. You know, I lived in Arizona for a while. Those rocks get hot, man. They don't, you know, in the summer in Arizona, you know, they say, well, the desert gets cold at night. What they don't tell you is for 12 hours, 120 degrees beating on rocks heats them up. So at night, heat kicks back up at you and keeps it feeling about like 90, 95 degrees all night. Am I right? It heats the rock. You're like in a sauna all night. You know, maybe if you went up and floated 100 feet in the air, it's cool. But, man, when it's hot out there, it doesn't go away. Those rocks, man, they about the time they cool off, the sun comes back up, you know. There's no, Father, I trust you in this. I trust you that you, man, you, yeah. If this is what's here right now, you know, it's best in a lot of respects to take things one day at a time. Today, Father, I got to deal with this hot rock. It's hard and I don't like it. I can't sit on it because it's too hot. I can't find rest on it. I can't eat it. It can't fulfill me. I don't like walking across it. My feet get sore. It's hard. It wears me out. It's hard on my joints, all this stuff. But I want to be fathered by you. I want to walk in this relationship with you. I want to trust you in it, that if you've put this rock here, that you got a purpose behind this hard rock. And it, you know, it doesn't say what the purpose is in here, or that I've seen, or that the Lord showed me, but there is this aspect of trust. You know, for most of the time, we're just trusting the Lord, and he's doing work in our secret parts, you know. He's not telling us everything. Well, I have the rock here because in 10 years you're going to, you know, come in this situation, and because you were in the desert here with the rock, you know. A lot of times you get in a situation 10 years down the road, and sometimes you, in hindsight, you look back and see, well, that's why the Lord put me through all this stuff. He was training me, you know. But I've never had the Lord come to you and say, specifically for this reason, here's why the rock's here. You know what I mean? Oh, well, in that case, my God, this is easy, you know. But wouldn't that just take the real sweet juice of the relationship right out of it? You know, oh, Father, you don't have to tell me. I know you. I trust you. I believe that was Jesus' heart. He knew the Father. No one else did at this point. Jesus knew the Father. He didn't need an explanation. He didn't need that stone to be made bread. You know, I don't think it was even a thing in him at all that he struggled with. Why? Why was it? Because he knew the Father. You know, it created peace in him. Where did Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He wasn't the King of Peace. He's the Prince. A prince is a son of the King. Where did all his peace come from? It's just who he was. Just, I mean, you know, he was just made of being of peace. Well, maybe his peace came from a relationship that he had with his Father. You know, he's sleeping in the boat. My Father said we're going to get to the other side. I don't see what the problem is here while we're freaking out. It's going to happen. I know there's, I'm aware of the storm. But, you know, I'm okay because I'm with the Father. It came from a relationship, you know, relationship. But again, if we don't have the relationship of the thing, we don't have the life of it. We don't have the real fruit, the real juice, the peace of it, the fruits that come out of the relationship. The doctrine and the holding of a doctrine doesn't produce fruit. Union produces fruit. And union is a relationship. You know. And it goes on to other things. The devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. You know, all the glory of them, and says, worship me, and they shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil testing his consecration to the Father. You know, we face these things. You know, but why was Jesus not tempted? Well, he found all his provision and source in his Father. You know. And we could probably say a lot right here about getting freaked out about finances or the Lord providing or stuff. Where's stability? Where's that Father? The relationship with the Father. And it goes down to another one. He brought me to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to shame. And I never realized this, but the devil actually misquotes the scripture there. He omits a part. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And the real scripture in the psalm says, to keep thee in all thy ways. The devil doesn't say that. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall build thee. You know, so the devil comes with him, the word omits the part of in all thy ways, because he knows that Jesus' way is the way of the Father. Keep it a godly agenda, but you just go and you do your thing, you know. Jesus said, my way, I'm not about doing my thing, you know. This isn't about me doing my thing for God. It's not my interpretation. It's not me just stepping out of things. My way is the Father. It's consecrated to the Father. I'm not going to tempt him by saying, well, we're going to do this for the Lord now. We're going to step out, and, you know, the word says this. It's everything I do comes from a relationship. We're not just getting things from the word here and taking up a banner of throwing ourselves off the temple, you know, or whatever. You know, people just grab scriptures and start movements. Well, the only movement that matters is the movements of the Father in vessels. You know, wasn't that what Jesus was, the Father moving in a vessel? I mean, we moved on to something else. Has God moved on to something else? No, it's the same. It's the same. Jesus saying, I don't care. I'm not doing anything. My way is to be a vessel of the Father, you know. And then lastly, we'll look at John chapter 20. Starting at verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping." Now this is Mary Magdalene here. She's the first one that saw Jesus after the resurrection. She's the very first one. Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener. Did that verse ever stick out to anyone? I mean, did you ever drive around somewhere and see a gardener and think, I bet that's what the resurrected Christ looked like? I mean, I just love that about Jesus. Consider what you think of as a gardener, you know, and then take about 2,000 years off of that from people, what a gardener was back then. This is Jesus risen from the dead, the greatest act of, that's ever happened in the universe, was mistaken for a gardener. I just thought that was great. Oh, man. I'm not going to repeat that in the mic. And I just love Jesus. You know, you think the resurrected Christ, was he wearing his golden girdle? Did he have white hair with bright, you know, eyes of fire and angels with trumpets on either side of him? Mary, I am risen. He looked like the gardener. I mean, maybe he had dirt on him or something, you know. I mean, this is the one who is going to ascend into the holy place and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. The very one. Not someone else, not some spiritual being. There is a man, Jesus Christ, him. He didn't change. There's a man sitting on the throne who still has in his hands the marks of the cross, and he was mistaken for a gardener. I love that. I love Jesus. I love the way he is. It just says so much about him, you know? So that has nothing to do with what I'm getting at. But I just thought, for the first time, that hit me. Like, what? I saith unto him, "Sir, kind gardener, if thou have borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." He's like, "Come on. Mary, really?" She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Now, in another gospel, it says they held him by the feet. This is the first presentation, if you will, of Jesus, of the good news of the gospel to man, to humanity. It's to her. It's to this one. So what he has to say is really, really important, you know? I mean, these are his first words after the resurrection. How's he going to be sent? Mary, tell them the glorious truths of the gospel, of being in Christ and dissected to him, and they're in Christ and in you and crucified and all this stuff. Yeah, well, no, that'll come. And that'll come by the Spirit, and we'll be brought into the reality of it. But what is he started on? What's the foundation that he lays, right? But he says, "Don't touch me not." And I thought, I always kind of looked at that as kind of like an arrogant thing. What do you mean, dude? I can't touch you. You look like a gardener. We should be able to, you know, like, why can't she just run up and give you a hug? You know, I'd understand more if you were some like white-robed, glowing, floating being, you know? But why? Touch me not, you know. But Jesus was not egotistical, obviously. He's not just saying stuff, you know. And they held his feet in another thing, saying, don't hold me to your earth. Let me go. Don't hold me to the earth. Don't hold me in a relationship of turn the stone to bread. Don't hold me in a relationship of, you know, support my earth life, all the kingdoms of this world. Take care of me, you know, that be my relationship. Don't hold me to this earth of, Lord, bless my ministry, and I want to do this for you, and I want to do that for you. No, don't hold me to all that stuff. Let me go. Let me go in that way. Don't try to keep me earthbound. Don't try to keep our relationship earthbound. Let it be what comes from the heavens. You know, let it be what rules the heavens. Let's let it be what the relationship that brought this whole thing into existence. Let's let it be that, Mary. Don't hold me here. Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, saying to them, I ascend. So this is a big deal. Saying, Mary, don't be the center of this relationship. Don't hold me to the earth, but be my vessel and go tell them that I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Now this is, I don't think Jesus thought about, now what's the best place to start? What's the best doctrinal thing I can say that's going to just, let me figure it out here. No, I think this is just what was in his heart. This is just, he just spoke out of what was in him by life. Tell him, I go to my Father, and you've heard me talk a lot about my Father, but tell him I go to their Father now too. You tell him I've made him their Father. Now, what you saw in me can be in you. Now the relationship that I had with my Father, you can have that relationship. And the bringing forth of the kingdom and everything through the first church and from generations on comes from this. Sons begetting sons. Sons becoming fathers begetting sons. Paul was a father in the Lord. It says you have many teachers and all these things, but not many fathers. Well, where did he learn to be a father? Well, he was a son first. Oh, he was a son under the Father. But he then began to father and began to beget, and this thing continues on by sons begetting, becoming fathers, begetting sons. And that spirit of a family, not condemnation, not side-eye, not drudgery, not just doing it because we know it's the right thing, but all birthed and motivated and born out of a relationship, a sweet relationship with our Father that says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. The words are spoken out of a relationship. Father. Yes, Father. I say yes to go forward. Father. You know, Jesus said, I go, tell them I go to their Father now too. So she goes, be my vessel. And that's all I had to share today. But, you know, not really a long time. For a little bit, I had a view of the Father like it was God on the throne, and it was only Jesus that he liked, but it was in Jesus' heart to, like, get a bride, and it was Jesus was the one that really loved us, you know, and the Father was just kind of there, and he'd accept us so long as it was in Jesus, you know, so long, Jesus, if you want to do it, okay, you go ahead, you know, and as long as they're in you and I can't see them, it's okay. Did you ever hear that thing? Like, you can have a puppy, but if I smell it, if I see it, you know, if it barks, if I hear it, it's gone. Right? Like, well, you're not really saying I can have a puppy. You're saying, you know, I can, like hide one and, you know, what I, you know. But I kind of had that. I mean, I never, like, said that in my mind. Like, it was like that. But it was, like, that kind of like that, you know, that lingering suspicion there in the background. Like, okay, Father, we're good because of Jesus. And if not, you'd probably kill me, you know, or whatever. You know, you're still the God of Mount Sinai to me, but I'm in Christ. Right? So we're cool. Right? Well, God initiated this whole thing. Randy shared it the last time he shared. You know, it says it in Ephesians, but it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, doesn't that kind of like trump Jesus? Or it originating in Jesus? Or it just being Jesus' thing? It brings it into, it was the Father's thing. I mean, this was in his heart. While you were a sinner, before you were a son, how far does his love go? Before you were even brought into the family, while you were his enemy, he loved you and gave his most precious thing in his life. I mean, what more precious can you get than your son? The son, I mean, you know, Jesus comes and says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The rest of you are sinners in Adam, and I'm going to have to crucify the lot of you to even get you to me in Christ, you know? Or what if it was a heart that came down and said, this is my son? He's saying it, you know, other people heard it, like, hey, everyone, I'm giving you my son. I've sent him down to this earth on my behalf. He is the representation of me. If you know him, you know me. If you've seen him, you know. If you've been touched by his love, that's my love. You know? Whatever comes out of him, that's knowing me. You know, it all goes back to the Father. That's our Father. I love that. It changes everything. It changes everything. Being fathered and walking in that of being a son, it can change so much of how we bear things, how we go about things, how we receive things from the Lord. It just makes all the difference when it's from someone who loves you, you know? And you know that with things in your life. Something can be given, but if it's given from someone who really loves you, it's not even the thing that matters anymore. It's the heart that gave it, you know? And that's what we're talking about here. It's not about the stone. It's not about being in the desert. It's not about the ministry. It's not. It's about me and you, Father. You know, this everything outward, secondary. What this boils down to is me and you. Thy will be done, you know? Amen. Let's just close and pray. Maybe we can stand together. Oh, Father. Father, we want to know you more in this way. Lord, we thank you for sending your Spirit into our hearts. Lord, you've adopted us as sons. You sent your Spirit into our hearts that cries, Abba, Father, Lord, because you want to know us in this way. You want to relate to us as our Father. Lord, you want this fellowship, this union, this knowing, this proceeding along these lines, Father. We thank you, Lord. We're so blessed. We're so loved. We're so cared for and taken care of. It's by your grace, by your mercy, by your love that we're even seeking after you. It all goes back to you. It all came out from you, and it all goes back to you in the end. Father, we thank you for your great love that you loved us with. Your word says that God is love. Father, your motives with us are so pure. Father, in our desert areas, in our hunger, Lord, in the stones we have to deal with, and the temptations to do things outside of you, Father, in the view of the world and of the enemy that says that you're not caring for us, Lord, may we be so settled and secure in our relationship that we have peace, that we have trust in you, that it comes forth out of relationship, Lord. We know that not much is just going to come out of knowledge or doctrine, but Lord, we look forward to all that comes out of this union, of this oneness, Lord. We look to the prayer of our high priest in John 17, where he said that they may be one, I in you and you in me. Lord, we know that he was also praying your heart, this desire for oneness, this desire for bringing us in. Father, we thank you that you have made it so, and we want to walk in the relationship of it. We want to experience it, Lord. We want it to be real and more real than it already is in our lives, Father. You sent your Spirit. You sent your Spirit, Lord, to declare Christ, the Son, the Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move in us, to make the Father more real to us, to show us, to help us understand his way as a Father with us, to see all things in light of him fathering, being the Father of our spirits. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray that you deal this, seal this in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.